And would you please find in your Bible Psalms chapter 78. Psalm chapter 78. Appreciate Isaiah leading all of those songs from the Psalms, but this is entirely a coincidence. We didn't get together and contrive this plan. It just so happens that the lesson is going to come from the Psalms as well. So this did work out well. I'd like for you to read with me Psalms chapter 78 and the first six verses, when the psalmist says, "Listen, O my people, to my instruction, incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old." That is, he's going to speak things that are known from of old, things that have been known and have been taught in times past. He says in verse 3, "Which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not conceal them from their children, but tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wondrous works that He has done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, and that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children." I want to talk to you this morning about a phrase that appears a couple of times in this reading, a reference to the generation to come. Here we find the reference being made, as I said, to things that had been taught before, but things that were going to continue to be taught, things that were going to be said to the generation to come. And not only to the generation that is to come, but to the generation that is to follow even that generation. Now, God had blessed Israel and had delivered them from slavery, had given them liberty, but He gave them so much more than just their liberty. He gave them Himself, first of all. He gave them a Lord. He gave them as well a law from their Lord. And then He gave them a land in which they could dwell. And what did they do? If you're familiar with the history of the nation, you know that they rejected their Lord, and that judgment, therefore, came upon the land because they disobeyed His law. Now, there are three things that the psalmist says in this text that I want you to think about with me about what can be done for the generation to come. What can this generation do for that one that will follow? You know, as you look out over an audience like this, it's quite obvious that we have a mixture of different generations. There are some very, very young ones who are being held in the arms of others. There are some who are older than that, who've grown to some degree of maturity. They've become teenagers. They're maybe finishing up with their high school and they're getting ready to go on to college, or perhaps they've not progressed that far yet, but they're certainly more mature than the young babes that are being held in the arms of adults. But then we've got others who are at what we might call midlife. You know, a lot of times that's kind of a nebulous identification. Sometimes people will say to me, "Well, David, you know, you're at midlife," and I don't really expect to live to be 106, so I think I'm a little beyond the midpoint. But there are those who have reached that point in life that we often refer to as that midpoint. And then there's an older generation, marked out by the gray hair, that the Bible speaks of as being a sign of honor, that ought to be honored. What will each of these generations do for the one that follows? Well, I want to tell you there are three things in this text that would serve us well to keep in mind. And the first is that I want you to notice is it would be worthwhile to review history. It would be worthwhile for a generation to review for the generations that are following, the things that had occurred to them and that had occurred during their lifetime. Now, as the psalmist writes, he speaks about both a national history and a spiritual history, because in Israel the two were tied together. It was a theocracy. We don't live under that kind of an arrangement in this nation in which we live. And certainly there are benefits to making a generation aware of and informing them about our national history. But I'm more concerned this morning, as I suspect you are, with spiritual aspects of history. What spiritually can a generation say to following generations that would be of benefit? Look in verses 4 and 5 again of the text, where the psalmist says, "We will not conceal them." What? Conceal what? It's conceal the things from of old, the parables that he says, "I will speak in," the things that have been taught from times past. "We will not conceal them from their children, but tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wondrous works that He has done." Can this generation share with a following generation or generations stories about the strength of the Lord and the wondrous works of the Lord and what the Lord has done for them? We see in the text that the writer talks about that He, that is God, commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children. The fathers were the ancestors. They were the forefathers of this following generations. Parents, here is our assignment. This is your assignment from God, that you are to teach your children about what God has done, about the strength of God, the wondrous works that He has done, about the praises that are rightly His. Is this what you are instructing your children? Now, sometimes folks are inclined to say, "Well, you know, I'm going to let my child figure those things out for themselves. I'm not going to impose my thoughts along these lines on my child, but I'm going to let them find their own way." I kind of think about the fellow who said to another guy one time, "Well, frankly, you've got room to rent upstairs unfurnished." If you're thinking that way. No, we don't leave our children uninstructed and untaught in those things any more than we would leave them uninstructed and untaught in other things. You put something into the minds of your children, to the succeeding, to the following generations. Maybe you've already raised your children, but there are yet generations of others who are following behind you, and you can still impart to them the things regarding the Lord. Because I'll tell you this, the world is going to teach the generation to come. Teachers are going to teach the generations to come. Friends are going to teach the generation that follows. The media is going to teach the generations to come. And are we going to say, "Well, I'm just going to let them find their own way. I'm not going to impart anything to them that will help them to appreciate the praises that are rightly the Lord's, the strength that the Lord possesses, the wondrous works that the Lord has done." We must help the generations to follow, to learn the faith of God. Look, if you would, in our text in verses 5 and 6. "He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children." There is a legacy that one generation is to leave to another. We do hand down our faith. We hand it off like a baton. Look over in 2 Timothy, if you would, just for one quick illustration of this. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm certain that many of you will recall this text as the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, and he says in the opening of this second letter, I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. Now here's an example of one generation handing down faith, faith in the Lord, to the next generation. And Paul compliments these people. He compliments Lois and Eunice because they had handed down to Timothy that faith that they had. Heard the story one time of a little boy who came in to his mother. And he said, Mother, you know that vase that you said was handed down from generation to generation in your family? She said, yes. He said, this generation just dropped it. Now, don't be the generation that drops the faith, that drops the baton, that fails to hand it off to that generation that follows so that they might in turn hand it off to their following generations. Parents, are you reviewing with your children what God has done? That spiritual history that exists, will they be helped to know God by what you're doing for them? But this is not the only thing that we need to do. We need as well to renew our memory. You know, it's so easy to forget. Look in verses 7 through 11 of Psalm 78. He says, continuing on, that they should put their confidence. Here's what they're being taught. Here's what the generation is being reminded to do. That they would put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. And not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart and whose spirit was not faithful to God. Do you notice there in verse 8 that phrase that this generation that he condemns was one that did not prepare its heart? I cannot read that phrase and not think about the story of Daniel. That young man, he's probably a teenager when he's taken captive by the Babylonians, taken off to Babylon to serve in the courts of a foreign king, a young Jewish boy. And he goes into this strange place, into these strange surroundings, and there are many things that are placed before him, things that would defile a faithful Jewish boy. And the text tells us in Daniel chapter 1 that Daniel purposed in himself not to defile himself before God. Now there's a great lesson in that for every generation. You want to know how to more easily avoid temptations, to resist temptation, is to make your mind up now about what you're going to do. You see, that's what Daniel did. He purposed in his heart. He made the determination before he got to Babylon, before he had all of the luxuries of the king placed before him, before all of that came to Daniel, he had determined sometime before, I'm not going to defile myself before God. Now, for young people, it's a lot easier to make that decision now than it is to make it out on a date in the back seat of a car. It's a lot easier to make that decision and that purpose in your heart and to learn a lesson, to remember this lesson from Psalm 78, that a generation that God was displeased with was a generation that failed to prepare its heart. But that's not a lesson that's only for young people. That's a lesson for every generation. It's a lesson for those who are at that midpoint in life. It's a lesson for those who have the gray hair at this time. That you determine now, wherever you are in life, that what comes in the days ahead, I'm not going to defile myself before God. But I'm going to have a prepared heart that's ready to face the temptations that may come. It's so easy to forget. And what did these people forget? You go back to verse 7 as we've read it. They should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God. You know, for Christians, it's awful easy to forget the works that God has done in our lives. Do you remember what the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 9 when he talked about some who were blind and who were short-sighted, having forgotten the purification of their sins? Do you remember, Christian, the day that you obeyed the gospel? Do you remember that sense that you had of a great relief being lifted from your shoulders, a great weight of sin? Do you remember that sense of great appreciation to God? That we must remember. You know, the Bible certainly says much to us about forgiving and putting things behind. I'm not telling you that you have to wallow in the guilt of past sins. I'm not saying to you that you ought to bear around with you the rest of your life the burden of the guilt of sins that the Bible says God has forgiven you of. We have that burden lifted from us. We have that guilt removed from us. But we sure need to keep in our remembrance the great deliverance that we have received from God. That's the work that God has done that you and I need to keep in our minds. But why is it so easy for us to forget things like that? Why do we need to renew our memory? Well, there are some causes for memory lapses. And I'm sure that Robin is glad that I'm aware of the fact that there are causes for forgetting things. But I want you to notice the things that cause us to forget spiritual truths. Lust will cause us to forget the spiritual lessons of our past that we ought to keep in our minds. A desire, an inordinate desire. Look in verse 12 and following of Psalms 78. It says that He wrought wonders before their fathers. That is, God worked wonders before their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and He made the waters stand up like a heap. Then He led them with the cloud by day and all the night with a light of fire. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them abundant drink like the ocean depths. He brought forth streams also from the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. You know those stories of God's deliverance of Israel out of Egyptian bondage and in the wilderness and how He provided for them, all the great works that He did. And we have all read those scriptures in the book of Exodus and thought, how could these people be so unappreciative? How could these people have failed, having witnessed the things that they witnessed? Here's the answer, verse 17. Yet they still continued in sin against Him, to rebel against the Most High in the desert. And in their heart they put God to the test by asking food according to their desire. Then they spoke against God. They said, "Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Behold, He struck the rock so that the waters gushed out and streams were overflowing. Can He give bread also? Will He provide meat for His people?" What was the problem? Why did they fail so miserably? It was, as verse 18 says, by asking food according to their desire. You see, it was desire. It was that which was inordinate, that which was ungoverned. Here were these people, the recipients of so many great blessings from God, who were unsatisfied. And they said, here's what we want. We want meat. Can God deliver that? Well, now, do we ever live in such an unappreciative way? Seemingly unaware of all that God has done for us, all that He has given us, all of the great work that He has done on our behalf. Well, there's another cause for memory lapse, not just a desire that's ungoverned, but also the lure of the world becomes involved in causing us to forget things that we should remember. Look at verses 40 and 4 through 42. How often they rebelled against Him in the wilderness and grieved Him in the desert. Again and again they tempted God and pained the Holy One of Israel. Can you imagine that? Being so ungrateful and so unappreciative to the point that it is said, you have caused pain to the God of heaven. That's what these folks did. Because, verse 42, they did not remember His power the day when He redeemed them from the adversary. There we go back to that same idea. What did they fail? They failed to remember His power the day He redeemed them. Do you remember that day? Do you renew your memory of it? Or do we allow that lure of the world, those interests, those competing interests that come to us? The things that Jesus described in that great parable of the sower of the seed. Jesus described the cares of the world like those weeds that grew up and choked out the influence and the growth of that good seed that Jesus said is the Word of God. And He says it's the cares of the world that close in and choke out that influence in our lives. The lure of the world can cause us to forget the things we should remember. And then just the blatant lies of untruth that is often taught. Drop down to verse 58. They provoked Him with their high places and aroused His jealousy with their graven images. You know the history of this people. You know how they turned from God and they turned to creating an idol for themselves to fall down and worship and to proclaim as the God who delivered them out of Egypt. They replaced God, having succumbed to the lies that were being taught. We need to renew our memory. And in doing that, we can then assist the generation to come to have an appreciation for God and for what God has done. But the final thing I want you to see is this, that in doing this, in reviewing history, in renewing memory, we can then reclaim our legacy. Look in verses 59 through 61. When God heard, He was filled with wrath and greatly abhorred Israel, so that He abandoned the dwelling place at Shiloh, the tent which He had pitched among men, and gave up His strength to captivity and His glory into the hand of the adversary. It's the sad story of what befell this people who had so failed God. They're finally given up, given over to captivity, given over to the enemy, having surrendered all the blessings that God had provided for them. What a tragedy. Have you ever thought about this? What a tragedy it was for this nation to live in a God-blessed land and be the object then finally of His anger because He had been forgotten and rejected. It's a terrible lesson to learn. But in the lives of individual Christians, it oftentimes is repeated. People who live in a God-blessed state, a God-blessed kingdom, the kingdom of God's Son. And yet, they lose all of the blessings, all of the wondrous things God provides in His Son, because they forget Him and they finally reject Him. And what does that do for the generation then to come? Now some might say, well, David, I understand the importance of what we do for the generation that is to come. I understand all of that, but I'm just one person. What can I do? Well, I think you can tell yourself, I'm one person, and I cannot do everything, but I can do what I ought to do. And what I ought to do, I will do by the grace of God. There's a story, I'm not sure how accurate. There's a story from World War II of Frenchmen who were captured by the Germans. And they were put to work in an ammunition factory. And these Frenchmen knew that the bombs that they were building were going to be dropped on their own homeland and injure and kill their countrymen. And so, as the Germans loaded these bombs up and flew out to attack their enemies, they noticed that there was an increasing number of failures to explode in the bombs. And they traced it all back to this particular factory. And so they stopped production and they began to investigate the bombs that were being manufactured there. And as they opened up bomb after bomb, they found a note from the Frenchmen who were working on the assembly line that said, "We are doing the best we can with what we've got, where we are, every chance we get." And they were, of course, sabotaging those bombs, preventing them from exploding, doing the best they could with what they had, where they were, every chance they got. Now, I'm only one man. You're only one person. But each one of us can do the best we can where we are, with what we've got, every chance we get. And when we do that, the generation to come will see and they will hear what they need to see and hear. We will never, for generations to come, we will never make the decisions for them. They'll have to make their own choices. They'll make their own decisions, and they'll bear that responsibility just like we will. But the responsibilities that we have, as we've seen outlined here in Psalm 78, the responsibility that those people in Israel had and that we in the Israel of today, the kingdom of the Lord today, the responsibilities we have is to declare to the generations to come the praises that belong to the Lord, the strength that is the Lord's, and the wondrous work that the Lord has done. This church is made up of a group of people who have enjoyed the benefits of the wondrous work that God does in forgiving sins. You may not be a child of God today. It may be that you have, and times past, in visiting here or in studying elsewhere or just in your own study of the Bible, that you've come to understand that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that for those who will turn away from their sins, repenting of them, and who will confess Him as God's Son, and those who are baptized, that they will have their sins washed away, cleansed by the power of God in the wondrous working of God, and be made then a child of God. I don't know what generation you may be in. You may be one who wears the white hair, but who has not yet obeyed the gospel. You may be one who is in that midpoint in life, but who has not obeyed the gospel. Or you may be among those who are younger, but who have reached a point in your life where you understand what God requires of you. And who, like Daniel, would make your mind up today to live from this day on serving the Lord. Whatever your case may be, if you've never obeyed the Lord, won't you do so today? So that from this day on to the next generation, you can share that same good message about His wondrous works, His great strength, and the praises that belong to Him. If you're subject to His invitation, won't you come in obedience as we stand and sing?